Five. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are listening on the podcast feed, I am just going ahead and getting the YouTube stream started. So momentarily, Kim and I will be talking about the Bay, the Beginning, episode 5. You're listening to Dockside at the Bay, and I'm getting ready to get this puppy started and shared. We are live on YouTube now, so I'm just going to go ahead and share the link. No, it's not made for kids. And I love that they ask that.
Yeah, this episode in particular don't feel like it's especially kid friendly.
No, you're exactly right. All right, so that's posted. We are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dockside at the Bay. My name is Vinny, and this is Kim.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome. Oh, yeah. By the way, I should actually say this for the very first time. Welcome to the newly christened Marie Apicella Studios. Before I get to anything else, I do want to let everybody know that I did post it last Wednesday on social media, whether it's Twitter, Twix, or Facebook or Instagram. My grandmother passed away Wednesday morning from dementia. She'd been suffering it for the past 8 years or so, being in a home for the past 7. It's a horrible, horrible disease, because when your mind goes, it's very rough, and it's very rough on everybody. You know, I personally, I hated seeing my grandmother like that. She was just always so full of life, so full of just vim and vigor. She, you know, she was one of those old-fashioned Italian ladies that A, never met somebody that she didn't turn into a friend, and B, was just always so full of life. She was actually the one that got me into wrestling. And she did go ahead and, you know, she met a lot of the wrestlers. I remember taking her to a book signing when Hulk Hogan put out his first autobiography under WWE Books. And my girlfriend at the time and I brought her. And, you know, lo and behold, she's, you know, not that necessarily he remembered her, but he remembered the time frame that she talked about, like the 60s and the 70s, when she would work in a restaurant. The guys would, you know, the WWF or WWF would run the New Haven Coliseum. And, you know, the guys would come in and, you know, come down Worcester Street, where her restaurant was and her family's restaurant was. So she met a lot of them. She got me into wrestling, and my love of wrestling is, you know, because of her. And it's just fitting that going forward, our studios for Studs in the Squared Circle, all of our shows are going to emanate from the Marie Apicella Studios, affectionately known to many people. It started with me as Riri, because I couldn't. So move over, Rihanna. There's a real Riri here. Her name is Marie. I couldn't necessarily, it was a child, say Grandma Marie and get it right. So it's always Grandma Riri. And then it just stuck. My sister started calling her that, and then everybody started calling her that, and she was Riri. So that's, you know, that's where the name comes from. And that's where that's, you know, that's why we didn't do Suds News last night. I just haven't been able to catch up and be prepared. So I wasn't on Take-Two Radio last night, and we did not do Suds News because of the fact that, you know, with everything, I just could not get prepared. But I did watch The Bay, the Beginning, episode 5, which is what we're going to be focusing on today. Now that I've kind of dominated the first few minutes of this show, Kim, how was your week?
My week was pretty good, pretty uneventful. Wound up hosting an impromptu Super Bowl party. Kind of had some people over just to watch the game, watch Usher, hear Beyonce dropping two new songs, and it becoming the Beyonce Bowl, which wasn't, too displeased with. I was pretty happy to see her coming up with some new music, but yeah, no, it was just. I don't know. And then today and day before went and just kind of got caught up a little bit on this episode and went and took some notes and just kind of did a little dissecting and yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
Good. I know, I'm glad. This was a very jam-packed episode.
Was
And before we
covered
actually,
a lot.
What was that?
Covered a lot.
It did. It really covered a lot. And before we even get into this episode, the Super, I didn't get a chance really to give my thoughts on the Super Bowl. I never really watched football. So I went to my mother's house. We had, some pickings and stuff. I personally didn't care about the halftime show, but it is what it is. I'm not a huge
The millennial in me, the high school kid in me,
Oh
was pretty
yeah, there's some good music, but
yes. And I don't know. I'm a Bills fan. I don't know if you can tell my shirt.
yeah.
So I was kind of pulling not for the Chiefs to win, but what are we gonna do?
Well, you got to remember the 49ers did beat the Bills in a Super Bowl in the 90s. So, I mean, it.
That's true. That's true. But to be fair, back when that game was taking place, I was not an avid football fan.
But I have to say, it's funny because when I was, when we were watching it and the game was just really getting into it, I thought the game was fantastic. I thought they'd show Taylor Swift a little too much, but they're going to do that for the ratings.
Thought they
But
had some good ads. Some of the ads were pretty clever, I thought.
yeah, they were some of the ads were pretty good. It was really nice seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin in an ad. Jade Cargill was in the Mountain Dew. Actually, both of them were in that same Mountain Dew ad, I believe.
The Michael Cera one for the skincare was pretty clever.
That was clever. It was funny. Yes, it was. But no, I'm actually it was pretty, they were pretty good. Although Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is I don't even think he's still in the race for president. Apparently, one of the super PACs put on a Super Bowl ad for him, which got him into some hot water because he brought up JFK. And apparently there was some infighting in the family because of that. But
Yeah, little drama flared up there. I noticed that as well. But I guess it was one of the highest rated Super Bowls on in
was
terms of ratings. I think it raked in a crazy amount of
like
audience, which Super Bowl is going to
130, over 100 million people watched it.
Yeah,
But
so.
it's funny because after the fact, I didn't realize this. I guess Nickelodeon was also streaming the Super
They
Bowl.
were. They were. Apparently, their livestream was pretty entertaining. So.
With SpongeBob and Patrick as commentators. If
Yes.
I had known that, I would have watched that feed rather than.
Honestly, if I had access to the base, cable Nickelodeon, I definitely would have tuned into that stream of it. That would have been fun.
And to be honest with you, I could see Travis Kelce as a WWE superstar when his football career is over. He's already a great talker, and he's got the explosiveness. Kind of
Yeah.
reminds me almost of a Rob Gronkowski, who also ventured into the WWE for a little bit. But anyways, congratulations
Anyway,
to the Chiefs for their Super Bowl 58 win over the San Francisco 49ers in a slobber knocker of a game. Came down to overtime, like literally 3 seconds left in overtime, and the game was over. Like it was that crazy.
nail biter. It held you. It was holding you till the end, for sure.
It really did. Like my wife said, "Oh, do you want to go home? Your mom looks like she's tired." I'm like, "No, I'm invested now. I have to see the end." And that's what it boils down to. But and if you do want to get one of the Super Bowl 58 championship belts put out as a combination of WWE and NFL, go to our affiliate code studsandsquarecircle.com/wrestling merch. Pick that up. It's only $549, but pick it up and we get commission off of that. So that would be really nice. But they have everything there. All right. So anyways, getting into the Bay of the Beginning episode
Yeah,
five.
episode 5. Only less than 20 minutes long, and it still managed to bring in so much stuff and uncover so many little, start up new threads and, kind of tie up old ones. It was a very action jam-packed episode,
So
for sure.
one thing that I do want to bring up, one thing that I have to bring up is, what Zoe is going through at her house before the wedding.
This
Is
poor woman.
she imagining Igor there, or is he actually there? I couldn't figure that out.
I think he was actually I don't think that that was a dream. I'm pretty sure it was a little the way that they fill it, because they have the father exit,
Right.
and after they have this lovely, father-daughter moment where he's just checking in with her, and she kind of expresses some of her like sadness about Vivian not being able to be at the wedding, and also her Vivian's mother, Mac's wife, who apparently has passed away, we find out in this.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah,
It,
we learned that I believe the mom's blanking on her name at the moment. I have it in
I
my
can't
notes.
remember the name. It's
But
just
she passed away, and obviously she was close with Zoe and was going to be her matron of honor. So we're getting a little bit more like, hinting into Mac, Vivian, that whole situation. But Zoe just expressing all this, like, she was upset that, these people that she cares about aren't able to be at the wedding, but she still wants to go ahead. And it's just, she has a very nice moment with her father, and she's smiling and standing there in her dress, and everything seems happy and ready to go. And then all of a sudden, you just see Igor in the corner, and you're just, but the way that it happened was so, because the father exits stage left, and all of a sudden, you just see Igor pop up, and you're like, wouldn't he have possibly, but he jumped out of hiding. And I feel like it was a real, because she gets handed that envelope at the very end of
Right.
the episode, which makes me think, yeah, this guy managed to get himself on the ground somehow
Yeah,
and
because
gain access and kind of up a little bit.
originally I thought she was hallucinating. Excuse me. I thought that she like saw him in the mirror, because that's like the first shot that
Yeah.
you
Oh,
see.
the way I loved the way that they did that. It does look like it's an apparition almost. Like, she's just kind of seeing him out of the corner of her eye in the reflection, in the background, the way that they did that. But no, I believe he was actually
Yeah.
there to cause some trouble, there to tell her the truth. I mean, he said flat out at the start, I don't want to cause anything for you. I just want you to know what's going on.
Right.
But
And
he's also referring to her as you stupid broad.
I saw that, yeah.
That line delivery, I cracked me up. I know that it wasn't just the way that he said that, just, but then, he even says, like, something very, kind of insightful. He's like, you're too simple for him, for
Yeah.
Brian. And in a way, that's true, because ever since we've been introduced to Brian, he's led this very
Complicated
complicated
life, absolutely.
situation going on. And poor Zoe just wants to get married to this man that she loves. She's keeping it simple. She's trying to just have like a simple, nice wedding. And everything that Brian has been throwing at her has made things more complex, more difficult. And for Igor to call that out, kind of insightful.
You're absolutely right. I completely agree with you. It's just the fact of him, going to her first we find out at the very beginning of the series that he like, sabotaged, or he crashed their engagement party, right? So he came
Yep.
in, had like a bomb strapped to himself, and he said that he was in love with Brian.
And he even said the bomb was unnecessary, all
Right.
that unnecessary bomb business. Like, it's almost as
Exactly.
if he's trying to backpedal a little bit on what he did, but it's still like, you still walked in there like threatening with,
Yeah.
you can't really walk that back too much.
Right. But I think a couple episodes ago, she did imagine him there, or imagine him. And that's why I thought it was another hallucination this time.
Yeah. Well, it does the way that they first introduce him, it's almost like a jump scare.
Yeah,
All of a sudden
exactly.
it's out of nowhere and you're just like, "Oh my gosh, like what's going on? And is she okay?" And the dad just left. It's like the dad, come back. Like you got to deal with this. Like, they set up this very kind of frightening little situation. And Igor is just an interesting, kind of he's an interesting character because he's like, "I'm not." I loved how he was going on about how like I'm not, like a crazy person. Why are you looking at me like I'm a maniac? And then she's just like, you broke into my house on my wedding day and you hid out in my,
Right.
bedroom. What else am I supposed to call you? Like she just calls him out for what he is, which is, he's telling the truth and he's showing her clearly some stuff that she doesn't want to see and know about.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the guy is a little.
And it's almost like he's the voice of reason,
Oh,
because
yeah.
we're led to believe that he's a crazy person. We're led to believe that he's a criminal, that he's talking nonsense, but he's actually the one that's trying to set Zoe straight by
Yeah.
handing her the envelope, which contains the pictures of Brian and Isabella's escapade that they had, that was flashback last week.
It's kind of funny because it's Joan, you see the very end shot is her looking at the photos and it's them having their little kind of bondage situation with the
Yes.
consent, fully consensual ropes, tape,
Yeah.
what have you. But the last time that we see Isabella is in that little shack.
And she's bound
She's
up on the
definitely
floor.
not in a consensual situation there. That was a little frightening as well. That was a fun little twist, jumping to that.
Right.
Just that moment when, we see her and she's just, that interaction that she has with Steve in the shack
Yeah.
is
And Steve's got that grenade, and it's almost like he's ready to blow up,
and
the
just so
bunker.
like, I mean, oh, Matt Ashford can play that creepy villain type, but also charming so
Yes.
well. Like, it just, oof, it sends a chill down your spine because he's just so just, it's okay, Buttercup. Just
Right.
very the whole scene, but he's standing there holding a grenade, has this woman tied up, also makes that call to Lee, which is also equally threatening and just, but he just he oh, I love, he's such a good actor because he just plays that creepy part just so
So
still and so well.
he's the one that called Lee to say he could bring you to the person that, okay, that I couldn't figure out.
Yeah, no, he's the one that makes that mysterious call when Lee's talking to
Sarah,
Sarah, and then
yeah.
gets interrupted, and then it's all, "Are you alone? Come to the shack in the behind the Garrett Tavern, broken down shack behind a tavern.
Right.
Come by yourself. You
Yeah.
know that's not going to end well."
Exactly.
Lee is so concerned about Brian and what's going on with him, so of course, naturally, he's going to go and figure out, try and get to the, root of what's going on with his son. So of course he takes off, but yeah, that doesn't bode well, Lee. I don't think you should be, taking him up on that offer.
I have to kind of switching topics a little bit. I have to give Jade Harlow her props.
Oh, absolutely. I
Fantastic
mean, she kicks off
actor.
the episode with a bang, no question.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that the episode starts with her just walking up the driveway,
Yes.
she just sets that tone right away, and it's just very, very well done, very difficult to watch scene. She's fantastic in that.
Yeah, and it's like the very first shot we see is, her coming up to Pete, and he's kind of like standoffish because he doesn't remember her. And
Oh yeah, he's still kind of in that little kid mode. He looks straight up uncomfortable when she co I mean, there's this beautiful, albeit stoned woman coming up to you and like
yeah.
clearly he has an interest in you. And you're just he fro he freezes up. He's just like, "I have no idea who you are." She tears his shirt. He's like, "What are you
And
doing?" Like,
trying to seduce
he
him
is
almost, and yeah.
yeah, he is not he's so confused, and she is just, persistent and just trying to forge a connection because she's just her world has totally come apart. She just needs something to hold on to.
And then enter in Marley.
Oh yeah.
And who was she with? That's a
So
I
that's her husband. That
I
and
thought she was married to Manny.
I believe Manny is her side fella.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm learning stuff now.
Yeah, I want to say either she's married to Tony at this point, or because I know that event like when they shot or when they showed us the flashbacks to the engagement party, and they're giving a toast. I want to say that he's with her and like, speaking on behalf and like they're happy they're together. So at this stage anyways. So I'm pretty sure that Manny is just her friend on the side.
Ah, okay.
But
Which is why she hid in the bathroom when
yeah,
Janice
I
came
had to miss.
over. And okay, all right, now
I
it's
had to,
starting to make a
if I'm
little
remembering correctly, yeah. I'm pretty sure that like, she's but she is with Tony. Who I had forgotten his name until they mention it later in the show. But clearly, Tony's on the outside looking in on all of this. He's confused. She's obviously aware that Liana is her sister now.
Yeah.
And with the red hair, there is a resemblance that you can kind of see between the two of them more than if when she was a blonde. So I don't know
Exactly.
if that was intentional styling or what, but they do look like sisters. The casting is good.
Because it threw me off because I'm used to Martha Madison being blonde by watching her Belle on Days of Our Lives. So having her as now, of course, this was years and years ago, but having her as a redhead kind of threw me off. And I'm like, oh, I could kind of see the resemblance there. And now I do see
Her
things that are
just
funny.
her making an entrance as well though, just immediately like, she sees Peter, she's coming up the driveway, and then she sees Liana though and is immediately like, "You get out, you're out of here, little girl." She is just like protective, almost protective mom mode of Peter.
Right.
Just, she's not having it. And then you got Liana who just kind of throws it back in her face. "Well, you're daddy's little princess, aren't you?" And
Yeah.
just that kind of, that kind of confrontation that they have, and you can tell obviously that Marley does not want this secret to get out. She doesn't want everybody to be aware of, but when Liana starts saying like, "You'll know who my father is, so, you know, you'll all find out."
Yeah.
Oh, it's just such a layered, such a tense moment, but so well acted, so well done.
Yeah, it is absolutely. And it's amazing. And I think about it, and this is something that I would actually love to talk to Gregory Martin about at some point, is just knowing that this started as literally a web series of just short bits. And I know that that's how the Bay of the Beginning came about, and this is just all separated into episodes, but
Yes.
just getting this kind of acting and putting on a web series, like how do especially over 10 years ago,
Yeah.
back before web series were a thing for the most part, just
You know, it's good material.
yeah.
The actors will come forward, you know, they'll be like, "Yes, I want to play this part. I want to, you know, be involved." 'Cause, you know, for 19 minutes, it really does manage to, like, you know, have them say a lot, have them do a lot, have a lot of character progression. There's a lot that happens. It's a jam-packed script, and it's, you know, I can only, as an act, I mean, I cannot act. I have taken improv classes before. I have tried to do like little monologues for my actor friends to help them out in workshops and things, but I cannot act. So I give kudos to anyone out there who can and who can memorize dialogue, because I'm incapable of it. But I gotta feel like, you know, you have material like this and you have a script like this and you just have these opportunities. And I mean, I've always been of the mind, soap actors are the hardest working actors out there.
Oh, they
You
are.
know,
Absolutely.
just, you know, the way that, I mean, I'm sure now, but definitely back, like, you know, previous eras of soaps, I mean, learning that level of lines, memorizing everything that's involved day in, day out,
Yeah.
5 days a week. I mean, that's just got to be the most intense training that you can possibly get as an actor, short of like working in theater. And I always felt like there was a lot of overlap too with like soap and theater actors, just
Yeah.
in the amount that they have to, you know, do, and you know, the performing that they have to, it's just, it's amazing to me. So
And it's funny because Steve Bird and Bradford Anderson on their podcast, they talk about this all the time, in that, not so much now, but back in the day, there were a lot of, people, actors that looked down on soap actors. It's like they never wanted to give them a chance to get bigger or whatever. You actually had to leave the soap to get, bigger and get other opportunities. And it's almost like this, it's similar to wrestling as well. Outside, up until Dwayne Johnson, up until The Rock, there really hadn't there'd been some crossovers, Terry Funk, Hulk Hogan, so yada yada yada, but there really hadn't been the crossovers that wrestlers were looked at in terms of actors. And we see, that Seth Rollins was in one of the Sharknado movies. John Cena became big. Batista's become big.
Those are
Roman
names
Reigns.
that I know, and I don't know wrestling, so just the
Exactly.
fact.
So, and
Yeah. No, definitely I feel like soaps and, you know, soap actors, they have been slept on before. They have been just kind of, oh yeah, you know, just,
Hey,
but
Nathan, welcome to chat. Welcome to the chat. Welcome to the show.
yeah, no, I feel like they are just being able to even memorize the lines to me is just a feat in itself, and just being able to convey that much. And you know, just of, I think there's so much, there are so many talented, they have such a talented pool of actors on this show. And it's just, that's, you know, it draws you in addition to the script, in addition to everything being so just, you know, suspenseful and edge of your seat and everything. I mean, the performances are just stellar and
Fantastic. Yeah.
competition. The Emmy love shows it,
Yeah.
you know?
So kind of moving back to the Bay, as we go off on the side tangents, but which is all right. So obviously we talked about the fact that, Marley got into it with Liana, said, "You have to leave. This is not about you. This is about my family." And she's like, "Oh, funny you should say family." And
Yeah.
just goading her in,
Little hints.
high
Yep.
up her ass, number one.
Yeah.
But number two, it's like she's just somebody who's, there to stir the pot. And she's like, "Okay, well, I'll leave, but everybody's gonna know who my father is, and I hate you, and this and that."
Yeah.
And
Intense.
then we go ahead because we see Lex come up.
And he just kind of puts everything to like, he's just like, come on, guys, we're here for a wedding. I love his just very chill, he's chill, but you can tell, don't mess with this guy. Like, he's not here, he's just coming up to rein in the chaos and be like, nope, this isn't, we're not having this right now, guys. So
Exactly.
it's just, I love how everything just kind of does, even Liana, though, her acknowledge, oh, him. When
Yeah.
she looks at him and just kind of acknowledges, like, but I love when he just kind of shows up and it's just everything kind of, he's not there for that drama. He's like,
Right.
we're here for the wedding. And it's funny too, like, I loved how I feel like, because you see him and Sarah, get a chance to interact again, albeit kind of, briefly, but their vibe, they seem so comfortable together. She's more comfortable with him, obviously, than she is in like even the scenes with like Lee and everything. She's just kind of, I love the moment when she's basically like, yeah, my kids aren't talking to me. And he's like, yep,
Right.
that's he just knows her so well. You can just, and like, they're just, they just seem comfortable. They just seem like, they can just be themselves around each other. You just get that vibe in the short little exchange that they have. And I just love that chemistry between them. I think that's great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. However, Sarah doesn't only have chemistry with Lex because we see a flashback to Lee and
Yes.
Sarah,
Yes.
and
A
how.
lot more intense, not nearly as comfortable.
Right.
And we get, it's sepia toned as well. And I can't remember, like, if we've, I mean, there's been like, they've kind of jumped into like different parts of like timelines and things like that and different dream sequences and things, but this is the first full blown, like, oh yeah, this was part of the past. We're going to draw attention to this here with the sepia setting for it. But, that was just an intense moment too. And very quick, but very loaded with information. You find out that, well, you find out Lee is clearly unhappy
Yeah.
and that he was a cop because he mentions being on the force.
Yeah, he'd be a laughing stock if he got back on the
Yeah.
force. Yeah.
And laughing stock for, keep on, that he's still in love with her, which is like, oh gosh, that hurts. I imagine that was, nice for her to hear. And then, he wants to leave town because for the past 25 years, that town's been tearing them apart, which, oof,
That's crazy.
that's
Yeah.
tough too.
But I mean, the fact that her family basically runs the town, her being that, that heiress to the throne of the Bay, Bay
Yep.
City,
Yep.
and the fact
I
of
mean,
everything that her, all the drama surrounding her family. Yeah, I could understand why he wanted
yeah.
to get away,
Yep. He wants Peter to go to school in Europe. He says it would be great for him. And honestly, like, I feel like with everything that's gone down in Bay City since we started kind of getting exposed to it, yeah, he's probably right.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot less problem to contend with, but yeah, very loaded flashback scene there. And then
Yes.
it cuts right to her, though, just like trying to check in on him and make sure that he's okay. But then he gets that phone call that takes him away. And but even like at the very end of the flashback, he says something along the lines of like, we're truly done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little foreshadowing. It's like, okay, we're flashing back to you saying you're truly done.
Yep.
Now you're potentially walking off to what could be your end. So
Exactly.
you might just be truly done in a lot of senses.
No, you're exactly right. So we did mention that Steve is the one that calls Lee, saying that he can lead him to the person that Brian is hiding. Then we see Steve talking to Isabella, who's tied up on the floor, and he's holding a grenade.
Yeah.
It's just I want to see the reveal when it kind of comes out that. Because I want to see how it goes from how Steve gets Sarah to marry him. Because if he's such a bad guy and we see him, he's obviously in cahoots with Brian about this. But I want to see
But
how he.
also kind of operating a little bit outside of Brian, because Brian was didn't realize even that when they had been initially, he was in the shack with Isabella and she was all like, well, who was that creep that was here? And he
Right.
had no idea. So I mean, Steve definitely could be operating like outside of the lines, aware of what he's more aware of what's going on than Brian is in this
Right.
whole situation for sure. So, and knows how to like pull strings and be that villain, whereas Brian's just kind of like, hey, let's just rush into everything and let's get married and let's just
Yeah.
do this, and not really, thinking ahead. Whereas Steve looks like he's 5 steps ahead of
Oh,
everybody.
absolutely. Absolutely. So it goes, at that point it goes back to Marley and Liana going back and forth, and Marley says, "You got to get out of here. It's not about you." Pete does, run into Sarah, and they start to talk, and he said, he's kind of starting to remember some people,
Yeah, he mentions names and he mentions her, but he also mentions how, it's starting to kind of come back to him. And then he asks how much, but how much time did we actually spend together? And then it kind of launches into the whole, apparently, he was told by Sarah that Claire had committed suicide, which, that's kind of like, ooh, wow, okay. And then she, says, you were a child, it was a complicated situation, it was just easier for you to, erase all those painful memories. I thought it'd be easier for you to just think, believe that she had passed away, that she had died. And his parting shot, well, looks like everything comes full circle, doesn't it? Or whatever line that is great. And then she looks so deflated at that too, because then you see it. Marley has given her this, like, dagger eyes from across the way. And Brian is there getting married at her house, but they're not even really talking. And she's just like, yeah, her and her kids right now are on pretty shaky ground.
Yes, I mean that's it's a the family puts the fun in dysfunctional, I'll give you that much. But we do see that the fact of that's one thing I never really understood. And the fact of Sarah telling Pete, I just wanted to protect you. You were so young, so it's just easier to say your former mother, killed herself, and instead of tell him the truth. Like, I mean, this is someone that he loved and cared about, and he didn't want to leave
And
her.
knew and had memories of. It wasn't as if he was like, I mean, he was 6, 7 years old when, when they were separated, but enough for him to know her as his mother. So, it just, yeah, that's a little, I mean, potentially Sarah found out about the institution and just didn't want to expose him to that whole situation and just said, this is just easier. But yeah, Sarah's not going to be Mother of the Year anytime soon.
Absolutely not.
So, there's some. And down the road, obviously, there is, you do see the closeness develop between her and Peter, and there is down the road, but at this point, at
Takes
this
a
stage,
while to get there.
yeah, takes him a bit. But it's funny, we got introduced, though, to another mother-daughter relationship that was just kind of a little out of left field towards the end when they have, but they do it, like, they introduce it with the wedding and bringing people together and just combining, but they have Sophia, we get introduced to Sophia's daughter. Tandy Joe, I believe is her name.
I believe so, yeah.
You find out, oh, I got a ride over from Jack's, from the mayor's driver. So, she's kind of living large, that little girl. And then we get to see Will Campbell and his father. And, different kind of dynamic there. But I love how, you see Will kind of looking at Peter, feeling a little bit. And then the dad is just like, Peter's got nothing on you. Like, it's just, oh, nice. A functional, nice father-son relationship.
And Rhea Andrews is fantastic in that
Oh,
role.
yeah.
I like him in that role, because when I started watching, the Bay on Peacock, they don't necessarily show, Will and his father together. So I didn't realize that that was the dynamic.
Yep.
They show, Rael as a doctor in the doctor setting. Will is an EMT. They do put more emphasis on Will, but
Yes.
I'm glad that they actually show them together in this series, this
Yeah.
first season, so to speak.
No, it's nice to see that kind of bond, and you can tell that he's just trying to like bolster his courage up to go and like, be with Vivian, but he's looking over at Peter like, well, Peter's going to be a threat, and just like, that the way that Will and Pete kind of lock eyes from across the, garden, or it's just like, ooh, it's on competition.
And I think, and I think they show those dynamics. I like a lot. The one thing that this show focuses on a lot of is the multi-generational dynamics, whether it's mother-daughter or and they're showing all of these different dynamics, whether it's Janice and Liana, or Will and his father, or Sophia and her daughter, or all these seemingly normal relationships, other than
Yes.
Liana and Janice, of course.
So dysfunctional in their own way.
Yes, exactly. But it's all to kind of put into perspective the fact that Sarah has a very different relationship with her kids. So
Yes.
she doesn't talk to Marley at all. She tolerates her, but Marley doesn't talk to her. She doesn't really have that close of a relationship with Brian, and she's trying her hardest to be close to Pete. So
Yeah.
it kind
I think
of,
like Pete is kind of like her saving grace a little bit, like, rather, like if I can make it work with him, but it's just it's it, but she at least acknowledges it. She's not trying to like say that like, oh yeah, no, everything. It's like, no, she's aware, and like Lex is aware, and they're both just kind of like, is what, it's kind of what it is. But she's like, it's just, it's so interesting just to kind of see that, the relationship in this stage versus where it progresses to later in the series, from what I remember of it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then the last scene of the show is Igor telling Zoe that he's trying to open her eyes. Says Brian's a freak and she doesn't know him that well, and
Yeah.
he gives
Turns
her
the whole freak conversation right back onto Brian, and then, it's just like, wait a minute, like, bud, you're like standing there, you just broke in, you got this crazy white hair flying everywhere, you look
looked like
like
he
you're
was
in
in
a
a hospital
hospital.
gown or something.
Yeah, like you're kind of, but then, he's, you have no idea, who you're marrying, what this is all about. I mean, he's definitely forewarning her that, and then shows her the proof, shows her the pictures, and that's where the episode wraps. But it's just like, oh man, poor Zoe.
Yes.
Poor
Just a
woman.
lot of
Like, at this
information for
point,
Zoe.
she finally gets like, all excited about the wedding again, finally gets to that point, and then this happens. So
Exactly. It's just so sad. And I do feel bad for Zoe because, she's over the first few episodes, she's struggling with this. Like, she's all happy at the very beginning. And then Brian starts acting weird, and she's doubting him and questioning him. And he's not giving her anything straight answers. And he says, I'll tell you when the time is right, I swear. And then she finally gets okay with it. She gives in. She's like, okay, we'll do this. And then
yeah,
now here.
finally opens up, finally decides to trust him, finally decides to just like, go on ahead, and and then it just all, comes falling apart again. And it's just, that's poor woman.
Yes,
That's a
exactly.
lot. But then it's kind of funny because they show the contrast of the guys all standing around, and Pete agrees to be the best man, which, and they're just having like this kind of nice kind of moment where everything is calm, everything, and then meanwhile the bride is just like getting, basically completely scared off of having anything to do with the ceremony or the wedding at all.
Exactly. Well, I think we talked this episode to death. We kind of went through everything.
I think we did, but there was a lot to talk about this
There was.
episode, so. And I'm pretty sure next episode is going to be very, like, I didn't watch the previews for it, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty jam-packed as well, so.
And I like that a lot of these shows are jam-packed. Of course, you can find The Bay of the Beginning on Amazon Prime, Tubi TV as well. And The Bay does stream. I believe The Bay does have a daily episode now. The Bay has a daily episode now on Popstar, is it? Popstar TV, and you can stream it on demand as well on
And
Tubi.
there's also, I believe, tomorrow, a little Valentine's Day kind of
Yes.
preview that's going on, which
You are
shows some
correct.
weddings. So
So that'll be
that'll
on
be nice to check
Popstar,
out,
and
a little romantic,
they've
cap.
been promoting, yeah, they've been promoting it, and it's going to flash back on all of the weddings in Bay City. They do talk about the one between Brian and Zoe that we'll get into next week. And then as well as Sarah and Lex from last season, as well as Pete and Vivian, both their weddings. So it's going to be a good one. Check it out tomorrow on Popstar, and then on demand on Tubi TV and other areas. I know Peacock, I believe, is only up to last
Yeah,
season.
I think they're a little bit behind with the, yeah, I'm pretty sure the most recent season's up, I know, on the other platforms you mentioned, but I don't think they're on Peacock just yet.
Exactly. But again, as always, hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, go ahead, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as everywhere else. Visit our website, studsandsquarecircle.com. And again, like I said, we are a officially affiliate for WWE Shop. So go to sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestling merch, and that'll bring you that has the affiliate code already in there. Go buy one of those awesome Kansas City Chiefs NFL Super Bowl championship title belts if you want to. $549 right there.
If the Buffalo Bills win the Super Bowl one day.
Well, the Buffalo Bills actually do have a WWE championship belt on the website as well, with the contract that WWE has with the NFL. All the teams except for the Jaguars are listed on the website.
That's
And
good information. Good to know.
so definitely go over there. Like I said, sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestling merch. I will be back with Suds News next week as well. I'll be doing an episode of Squared Circle News later this week. Just watch Dockside, or watch The Bay, The Beginning, episode 6 for next week. And Kim, I hope you have a great week. Do you have any parting thoughts?
I think we covered everything. I think we kind of talked this episode out pretty good, but looking forward to diving in next week.
All right, so live from the Marie Apicella Studios, this is Kim. I am Vinny. We will see you next week here, Dockside at the Bay.
Take care, everybody.
Live stream has stopped.